Blog Talk Radio.
And there's very far from thee to do after that manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
Yahweh.
Our favorite teacher, thus saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, he that made the same mistake again, he called it insanity. Show me a man without adversity, I show you a man without character. Send his messenger through us all to prepare us for disaster. Time is moving faster when the remnant makes it home. They'll be all living lavish. If he won't treat you right, won't teach you right. Serve Yahweh with all your soul and all your might. It'll make a brass monkey cry. True for tradition, to be the heart of the father. Back to the children, there is no other God beside my making name. Yahweh, a host, and there is no Holy Ghost. And supposing you thought he came to bring peace on this earth, he said no. Old man for counsel and young man for woe. For show to the late great prophet who taught us the knowledge of Yahweh. Therefore I pay homage, giving glory to the Holy One, the King of the Kings, the strength for Israel. One day he redeemed
Yahweh.
Shalom, shalom. Again, Maria Alicia Israel with the House of Israel bringing you truth or traditions. Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only Lawgiver and Judge of Israel, and the only Savior of the world. Today I'm delighted to again be here to bring you the word of Yah. And today we're going to talk about some very interesting subjects. We're going to have an open line. Now an open line means that you can talk about what you want to talk about. An open line means that you can ask the questions that you want to talk, you want to ask, and discuss the things that you want to discuss. But we're going to discuss something very, very important. We're going to talk about three different issues. This young lady, that's the Secretary of State, called Condoleezza Rice. We're going to discuss her. What do you think about her? You think she's a wise woman? You think she's very intelligent? Or do you think she's an educated fool? I want to get your points of view on that. And we want to also talk about Ken Blackwell. Did he really steal the election for President Bush? Did he really engage in criminal activity to get a man in office that has proven himself to be one of the worst enemies of humanity? We want to deal with that. And then I have a special message for my beloved brothers and sisters of the Jehovah Witness. We want to talk to you. There are some things that you need to know, because I know some of you personally, and I know you're very good people and very sincere people, but I think you got caught up in a cult that's misleading you. And I'm going to show you today out of your Bible where you're being misled. We're going to discuss these things today. But before we get to our lesson, we're going to again bring you another beautiful song from the new CD from the 12 Tribes. That's right, they came out with a new album, a new CD, and it is out of sight. And if you want a copy of the old CD, just call in to 226-7110. And we are selling these things. We are actually just giving them away for a donation. Just a donation. You can get a copy of the 12 Tribes CD, but I want you to hear the new one first. This is one of the songs on the new CD by the 12 Tribes entitled Battle Axe.
Together, we go to battle.
We go to battle.
We go together.
We go to battle.
Sharpen your battle.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. I hope you like that. They got many more. And we have another group at the House of Israel that's going to come out with their own album. We got two great groups and some great rappers at the House of Israel. You should hear these other songs by the other group. But we're going to let you hear them all in the days to come. But right now, we're going to get right into the midst of our lesson. And as I said, we can talk about anything that you want to talk about. This is your day. But I want to talk to my beloved brothers and sisters that are Jehovah's Witnesses. And I also want to talk and allow our listeners to talk about Ken Blackwell, because a lot of them are aware of something that I'm going to bring out next week. And that is the fact that Ken Blackwell is more than any person I know is responsible for getting President Bush elected. There was a lot of wrongdoing that took place in Ohio, and I don't know if you're familiar with that, but there's a lot of wrongdoings in politics, period. S. Reading the Creator talks about these political leaders. S. Reading the Creator himself talk about the presidents of the United States and the president of the various nations around the world. Just look at them. Look at the president of the United States. Is he really the cream of the crop? Is he really a wise person? Look at the rulers of the state of Israel. Look at the president of Korea, Syria. Look at them. Are you dealing with wise men or are you dealing with the lowest men on this earth? The Creator himself let us know that the only people that he's going to allow to be in office is the lowest people that he can find on this earth, because he has an intent to bring down these nations. But he couldn't do it with wise people in office. That's the reason he allowed the fools of the nation to be the rulers of the world. Let's look quickly in the book of Daniel. Let's look in the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter. Let us pay attention to the words of the Most High of Daniel, the fourth chapter, and we're going to read the 17th verse.
This matter is by the decree of the watchers.
In other words, this matter that the Creator is addressing now is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones.
To the intent.
To the intent. This is all for the purpose that the living may know that the Most High himself is the one that's ruling in the kingdoms of men. And it says,
and giveth it to whomsoever he will.
And it says, he giveth these kingdoms over into whomsoever he will. And it sets up over the nations the lowest of men. In some of your Bibles, it might say the basest of men. But the word base means low. The bases mean the lowest men the Almighty can find. Isn't that an indictment against you? When you're out here voting in your elections, putting the various governors and presidents over you, and the Creator says that he is working in your mind also, and he will only give you the ability to put somebody low-lighted and wicked in office. He said he sets over these nations the basis of men. So the people that you view as intelligent and wise, the Creator views them as absolute fools. Many of you all have great respect for this young lady named Condoleezza Rice. You think she's very bright and very intelligent. If she's so bright and intelligent, let me ask you a question. If Miss Rice is a very intelligent and smart woman, what would you consider President Bush? Do you consider him wise? Do you consider him a very intelligent and bright man? No. Many of you look at Mr. Bush as an absolute fool. So the question is, if he's a fool and Miss Rice is following him and doing what he says and saying what he tells her to say, then who is the biggest fool? Is it Mr. Bush or Miss Rice? And the answer is, Miss Rice would have to be the biggest fool. I don't believe in abortions. I've condemned abortions all of my life. But if such thing was permitted, no, I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. But I just go on to say that the Most High lets us know that he puts these wicked people in office. Let me show you what the Creator thinks about our people's wisdom. We go to the book of Isaiah. Let's go to the second chapter of Isaiah. Here the Creator says, talking about our people and how they think. He makes a plea to our people. In that second chapter of Isaiah, the fifth verse, it said, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. For the scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And if we want to be in oneness with the Most High and want to be walking with the Most High, then we're going to have to see things as he sees, because he's different than you. The Creator said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And as heaven above is higher than the earth beneath, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So the prophets of Israel knew this, and they appealed to the people to learn the ways of the Most High. But look what our people did. According to the sixth verse, it says,
therefore thou hast forsaken thy people.
Therefore, Yahweh, you have forsaken the people. Why did you forsake them?
The house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east.
They be replenished from the east.
And are soothsayers like the Philistines.
They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Most blacks look up to blacks that were educated just by the white man. But see, in these schools, his education don't teach you how to think. They teach you what to think. So you're not going forward, you're walking backwards. And this is all Mr. Rice, Miss Rice, and Mr. Blackwell know. They know how to please themselves and the children of strangers. They want to be just like their former slave masters. They want to act like them, talk like them, and think they're educated because they went to their schools. But the only one that can educate a black man in being a strong, wise black man is another black man. He's the only one that can educate you in being a strong black man. Now, a white man can educate you into being a good citizen. He can educate you to be a very industrious person, but he can't educate you to be a strong black man because it's not within him to teach you that. That's reading the Creator goes further. In the book of Jeremiah, in the fourth chapter, let me show you what the Creator said. In the fourth chapter of Jeremiah, we're going to start reading somewhere around the 22nd verse.
Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. For my people is foolish.
The Creator says, his people are foolish. You're very foolish people to think that you can put your trust in this man and that it will prosper you as a people. That's totally impossible. It said, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. No, you know JC. You've been worshiping a hippie on a stick. You've been worshiping the God that your enemies presented to you, but none of our people know the one that the Christ called his God. None of our people know the one that the Christ said is greater than him. None of you all know the God that the Christ said is the one that I come to do the will of. None of y'all know nothing about him. Because your enemies can't teach you about the Creator. That's when the Creator said, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are slavish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Just look at Miss Rice. All the years she is educated, her whole education is allowing her just to go overseas and says what this man wants her to say. She has no brains of her own. All her brains will be used in defending his policy, defending his actions. She's not to be innovative. She's not to use her initiative in creating something innovative. All her resources is used just to promote his policy and defend his policy. Is that wise? I want you to know there are thousands of black men and women that are much more intelligent than her or he, but they wouldn't take that position they have for anything. They have better ways to use their resources than to go through life thinking that they're going somewhere by promoting a man that's bringing down humanity as a whole. That's not very wise at all. And it's not very wise for Mr. Blackwell to help get him in office through rigging the voting machines and allowing blacks not to be able to vote. And we're going to get right into it next week. But right now, I want to change a little bit. You can talk about what you want to. But I want to talk to some of my Jehovah Witness brothers and sisters. And if you have any friends that are Jehovah Witness, tell them to turn on their radio. If they're in their house, in your house right now, tell them to sit down because they're being misled. First of all, the Creator's name is not Jehovah. There is no J's in the Hebrew language. There is no Jehovah. In Hebrew, there is no J sound. So you have no Jah, and there's Yahana. There's no Joshua, there's Yahshua, or Yehoshua. There is no Jacob, there's Yahakov. There is no Jehovah, there's Yahweh. So that whole J sound never existed in our language at all. Matter of fact, the J sound didn't exist on earth, period, until around the 15th century. So we didn't have that sound, period. There is no Jehovah. And most older Jehovah Witnesses will confess that they know the proper name of the Most High is Yahweh. But they will tell you that they called him Jehovah because that's what everybody is doing. So I asked them today, if everybody else was engaged in homosexuality, would you then do it and use that as an excuse to say we're doing it because this is what most people do? No, I don't think so. And you must ask yourself, are you really witnessing the words that the Most High wanted his servants to witness, since you call yourself Jehovah Witness? Let's look in the book of Isaiah for a minute. Let's go to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Since you say that you're Yahweh's witnesses, of course you call him by the erroneous name Jehovah. We try to get by that. But you do say that you're his witnesses. Right now, I'm going to read to you what Yahweh told his witnesses to witness and verify and to teach to the world and see if that's what you're doing. According to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, we're going to start reading that the 10th to the 12th verse.
Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant, whom I have chosen.
So the Creator says the witnesses that is his servant is the one that he has chosen. He said, you are my witnesses. And who is he talking about? Is he talking about a group of renegades out of all the nations in the world that formerly called themselves Russell Knights? and then the Watchtower, and now Jehovah Witnesses? Or was he talking about the sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I tell you that he's speaking of only and exclusively of the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at the first verse. It says, But
now doth saith Yah.
Now says the Most High Yahweh, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel.
Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine.
Now the name that Israel has was given to us solely and exclusively by the Creator himself. I've called thee by thy name. He gave us the name of Israel, and he said, thou art mine. And then he goes on down to the 10th verse and said, ye are my witnesses, said Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. And then the Creator says,
I, even I, am Yahweh. And besides me, there is no Savior.
Besides me, there is no Savior. Now, you all don't witness that. You can't witness that because it's against your doctrine. You were trained to give me a different answer. When I talk to Jehovah Witnesses, and I ask them, even though they say they're witnesses of Jehovah, I want you to try this when they knock on your door. Ask them who is their Lord and Savior. And they will tell you that the Christ of the New Testament is their Lord and Savior. Then ask them, those people, is there a difference between Yahweh and Christ? And they will quickly tell you that it is. Jehovah Witnesses will quickly tell you that Christ is not the Most High. Then you ask them, if he's not the Most High, and the Most High told his witnesses to go out before the world and verify the fact and witness to the fact that he's Yahweh and beside him there is no other Savior, then why would they say that Christ is their Lord and Savior? That's exactly what this verse is condemning. What the Almighty told his witnesses to verify condemns what the Jehovah Witnesses are practicing today. The Almighty says in 11th verse, I, even I, am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and I have said, and I have showed when there was no strange Elohim amongst you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, said Yahweh, that I am Elohim. So right here, if you people are true to what you say that you're true to, then why can't you confess that Yahweh is the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only Elohim of the world? You can't, because you all or imposters. Yes, you're imposters. You have a false name. You're calling on a false deity. Your statues are false. Your day of worship is the false day. The Christ that you worship is the false Messiah. And the book that you're reading is the wrong book. Jehovah Witnesses mainly go by the New Testament. And then they'll tell you that they're Yahweh's witnesses. If they're Yahweh's witnesses, why would they go by a book that teaches that there's somebody else before Yahweh? That there was somebody else on this earth that was not created by Yahweh? And the Jehovah Witnesses will say, well, we don't do that. Oh, yes, you do. Let me take you to your book, the New Testament, and let's go to the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and let's see if you can accept these words Or will you be strong enough to condemn these words as lies? And not only is this a challenge to the Jehovah's Witnesses, but this is a challenge to all our Christian brothers and sisters that claim they know the Most High. Because if you knew the Most High, you would see these words that you're finna read as an abomination, just as we of the house of Israel do, because we are the true witnesses of Yahweh. Let's read the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and we're going to read the first 3 verses. And I want you Christians to tell me if you agree with what we're reading out of your book.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him.
In other words, they're talking about the Melchizedek that you read about in the book of Genesis, the one that, or should I say, they're claiming they're talking about the same Melchizedek in the book of Genesis that Abraham paid tithes to, and he was king of ancient Salem. Salem is a word for Shalom, which means peace. So it was a city of peace that he was supposed to be the king of, and he was. But then they describe him a little further.
To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace.
I mean, that's what the word means. I don't know where they got the king of righteousness, but it's interpreted king of Salem, which is king of peace. That's what that really means, not king of righteousness.
Without father.
But then they're going to say that this Melchizedek, I want you to get a load of this now. They said this Melchizedek in the New Testament is without father. In other words, he's greater than the Christ of the New Testament. Because Christ of the New Testament had a father. Christ in the New Testament said Yahweh is his father. The Christ in the New Testament said my father is greater than I. But this Melchizedek is without father, without mother. He didn't have a mother like the Christ of the New Testament. Christ in the New Testament had a mother named Mary, according to the New Testament. According to the Quran, he had a mother named Mary, who used to change his little stinking diaper, who raised him up. But this Melchizedek, nobody raised him up. This Melchizedek, who was a priest, according to the first verse now, this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, he's a priest of the Most High Elohim. A priest is a servant that serves a deity. He's someone that serves a deity. Now, they admit that this Melchizedek serves a deity, but they say this Melchizedek is without father, without mother, without descent. That means he didn't descend from anyone. And how could he descend from anyone if he didn't have a father or mother? A father nor a mother. And he said he neither had beginning of days. That meant he was always here. Nor end of life, meaning he will never cease. But made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continuously. Now there come the contradiction. How can this man, Melchizedek, be a priest of the Most High, never had a father, never had a mother, never had a beginning of days, never had an ending of years, never descended from anyone, and then it says he was made like unto the Son of Man? How can he be made like anyone if he was always here? If he was always here, how can he be likened or be made like anyone? Well, that's just one of the many contradictions of the New Testament. But not only does this verse contradict the New Testament, not only does this verse condemn the teachings of the Trinity, but this particular verse calls Yahweh himself a liar. And I want to ask the Jehovah Witnesses, after reading this verse, do you agree with it? Now let's see what Yahweh says about himself. If we go to the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter, let's start in the 44th chapter of Isaiah and see what the mighty Yah had to say about who he is. Now, according to Isaiah, the 44th chapter, let's start reading at the 6th verse.
Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Thus saith Yah.
Thus said Yahweh.
The King of Israel.
Yahweh is the King of Israel.
And his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts.
Yes, and he is the Redeemer of Israel, Yahweh of hosts.
I am the first.
The Creator says, I am the first, and I am the last. And besides me, there is no Elohim. Well, brothers and sisters, if you don't know what a contradiction is, this is one. This says everything you just read in the book of Hebrews about Melchizedek is a lie. Here the Creator says that he's the first. Now, what is that implication? Now, if he's the first, that meant in the beginning there was no one with him. Now, if there was no one with him, then how can Melchizedek be without beginning of days, nor ending of years? When the Creator says, I am Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Yah of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. What is said that Melchizedek is the last. And besides me, there is no Elohim. And who as I can call and shall declare it, set it in order before me, since I appointed the ancient people, speaking of Israel, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Now the Most High declares the fact to us that there was no one else. And then he says in the 8th verse, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there an Elohim besides me? Yea, there is no Elohim. I know not any. So the Creator don't know this Christ you're talking about. He said there was no one with him in the beginning, nor will there be after him. He said he's the first and he's the last. Now, according to the book of Revelation, J.C. is an Alpha and Omega. According to the book of Hebrews, Melchizedek is the first and the last. And here Yah says and declares it to his witnesses. And I'm one of his witnesses. And we don't call ourselves Jehovah Witnesses. We call ourselves witnesses of Yah. And I witness to the fact that there's none else but him, which totally condemns the book of Hebrews. It condemns the New Testament, period. And then there's something else that I want my brothers to consider. If we go to the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and this is for the Jehovah Witnesses, they claim they're witnesses of Yah, even though they can't witness the fact that there is none else beside him. They can't witness the fact that he said he was no one that was before him, nor with him, nor will be after him. They can't witness that. They can't witness the fact that there is no other Redeemer or Savior but Yahweh. They can't witness the fact that there is no such thing as a Melchizedek that was the first and the last. And they can't witness what the Creator tells his people that he would do in Isaiah the 66th chapter. Because here he says he's going to destroy all of the Jehovah Witnesses and all of the people that teach people that they can eat pork. All the people that teach that they can eat pork. And all the people that will be eating the pig, the Creator said he will destroy. That's reading this dietary law is so important to our lives. according to the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 15th verse.
Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15. For behold, Yahweh will come with fire.
The Almighty said he's come with fire. So this is you can't show me nothing in the scriptures about the Creator coming in his glory with his wrath upon the earth other than this. Here's how he said he's coming back to earth. It said Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger. Yes, he's going to be very, very angry. To render his anger with fury.
And his rebukes with flames of fire.
So he's not going to rebuke you with words no more, but he's going to rebuke and discipline you with flames of fire.
For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh.
No, he's not going to be pleading by the mouth of his prophets when he come back. You had your chance to listen to me. You had your chance to listen to the prophets of the Old Testament, and you refuse, and he's not coming back like that anymore. He said, Yah will come with what? Fire, and with his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh. And the slain of Yahweh shall be many, many. No wonder the Christ of the New Testament said, seek ye the straight gate. For broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many shall go therein. But straight is the way, and narrow is the path that leadeth to righteousness, and few men will find the way thereof. Let's read the Israelites a few. Because we're seeking that straight and narrow road, that broad road, that Bush and Clinton and all of the Billy Graham and Sun, Moon, and all everybody else is walking in. We're not walking in that road because we know that's a road of destruction. We're seeking that straight and narrow path that the rest of you all are scared to walk through because you think you might slip because the path is so narrow. But notice what it says. For with fire and with his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yah shall be many. Then he's going to tell you exactly who he's going to destroy.
They that sanctify themselves.
They that sanctify themselves.
And purify themselves.
In the garden.
Behind one tree.
In the midst.
Eating swine's flesh.
And the abomination, the rats, the catfish, the oysters and shrimps, the other foods that the Creator said is an abomination. The things that Muslims are allowed to eat. The things that Christians are allowed to eat. The Creator said everybody that is eating swine flesh, and in addition to eating the swine flesh, the abominations, the rats, the dogs, the moles, the weasels, the catfish, the oysters, the shrimp, all the other abominations, and the mouse shall be consumed together, said Yah. So the Creator says that he's going to consume you together. So it's nothing outside of the Christian book that tells them they can't eat a mouse. And there's not a word that they can show me in the New Testament that says a Christian can't eat a mouse. And it's nothing in the Quran that says a Muslim can't eat a mouse. And no imam or sheikh can show me one word in that book where it says you can't eat a mouse. But the Almighty was very specific and exact when he told us specifically what we could eat and what we couldn't. And then he says he's going to come back and destroy our people that are eating the swine and the abomination, and the mouse shall be destroyed together. He said they shall be consumed together, said Yahweh. He said, for I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Well, who is his glory? His glory is Israel. Israel is the glory of Yah. So we see that you Jehovah Witnesses can't witness to that. You can't witness to the fact that you can't eat pig and rats. You all would teach that that law is done away with. You can't witness to that. But you say that you're the Almighty's witnesses. Well, let's look at something else where the Most High talks to his witnesses and he tells them what they are to do. And let's see if you're complying with that or is your teaching actually condemning the words of the one that you said that you're following. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Now, before we go to Exodus, let's deal with Isaiah, the 44th chapter. We go into the 44th chapter of Isaiah because within the confines of the 44th chapter, the Almighty names his people. And he tells you the name that he has given his people. And let's see if the name is Jehovah Witness. Let's start in 44 and first verse.
Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant.
So you see the servant of Yahweh is Jacob.
And Israel, whom I have chosen.
Not Christians. The Almighty never chose a group of people called Christians. The word Christian never came out of Yahweh's mouth ever, according to the scriptures. The word Christian never even came out of the mouth of the Christ of the New Testament ever, according to the New Testament. But Yah said, hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen.
Thus saith Yahweh, that made thee,
and formed thee from the womb,
which will help thee.
Fear not,
O Jacob, my servant,
and thou,
Jeshurun, whom I have chosen.
The Almighty said he chose Israel. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thy offspring. Talking specifically about Israel, not a bunch of renegades out of other nations that are now part of an association called the Jehovah Witness. He's not talking to you, but he's talking to his servant, his witness, the one that he has chosen. He said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty.
And floods upon the dry ground.
I will pour my spirit upon thy seed.
And my blessings upon thy offspring.
And they shall spring up as amongst the grass.
As willows by the watercourses.
One shall say,
I am Yahweh.
And another shall call himself
by the name of Jacob.
And another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh and surname himself by the name of Israel. Brothers and sisters, people from near and afar, the black man in America, the remnants of the house of Israel that's in the midst of the land of our captivity, the ones that were sent here in chains, the ones that were sent here to be sold, as it is prophesied throughout the Holy Scriptures, we are the ones that the Creator is talking about. And we are the ones that's raising ourselves up, going down to the city halls in the various cities throughout the United States, every day as the Almighty's blessing is being poured upon us, we're going to the people saying, yes, I come to change my name back to my original name. And they say, where did you get this from? Where did you get Israel from that all of a sudden I thought you was a Negro and now you're saying you're Israel? Who told you that? Then you would tell them that Yahweh has poured water upon the dry ground. The Creator said, the people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the valley of the shadow of death, upon them has his light shined. And his light has shined on us. And we are the people that are fulfilling these prophecies today. We are the people that are raising ourselves up not naming ourselves Abdullah or Muhammad or Smith or Thomas, but of verifying the prophecies of the Most High and surnaming ourselves by the name of Israel. Now this spirit is not litten upon any of you Jehovah Witnesses. You don't know who you are. You just call yourself Jehovah Witness, or that's who the white man said you are. You don't even know what it means. But he told you, and as I've said, monkey see, monkey do. As the Creator says, our people please themselves and the children of strangers. Anything they tell you, I know you won't listen to me, because I have black skin and woolly hair, and I wasn't educated or taught by a white man. All the knowledge that I have was taught to me by a black man and by the Creator. But you can't say that. And you can't verify these prophecies. But there are other prophecies that I want to show you that you are not a recipient of. And if you were Yahweh's witnesses, you would witness the things that he said. And thus far, you can't witness anything the Most High said. What I told a few of you all a little while ago when you came to my house is that you should truly name yourself Paul's witnesses, because truly, you can about witness everything that Paul said, because that's what you teach. You teach Pauline's doctrine, but you call yourself Jehovah's Witness. And right here, you're not witnessing one word that he told his people. Let's look at something else that he told his people to witness, and let's see if you or can witness that. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, the 44th chapter, because one thing about Jehovah's Witness, they will teach that the Almighty will establish his kingdom on earth. They will teach that the kingdom of Yahweh is not up in the air, in the clouds, as the other Christian brothers teach. Yes, they're a little more advanced than that. They do teach one couple of things, right? They teach that you don't supposed to drink or consume blood, and they're absolutely right. And they also teach that Yahweh is alone, and there is none else beside him. But even though they teach that, they'll go right back and tell you that their Lord and Savior is Christ. So they will go against their own teachings. But right now, before we get into anything else, we're going to stop for a news break. And if anyone wants to call and talk about Ken Blackwell, or about Condoleezza Rice, or about my Jehovah's Witness brothers and sisters, or talk about anything, just call in and we'll have a good discussion. Call us, area code 513-749-1230. Call us right up, and we'll be glad to talk to you and receive your call. We'll be right back. Shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bring your truth or traditions. Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. And we're going to discuss, and we are discussing, politics. What do you think of your black brother, Blackwell? Is he a service to our community? Or is he a detriment to our community and the world? And this Mr. Rice, Miss Rice, this runner of ours that you all think such a bright young lady, because she's working right next to the president. Let me ask you a question. Would you be equally as proud of her if she was assistant to Hitler? That's my question. Because you look at it, it's not too much difference. Let me deal a little bit with this voting to Mr. Blackwell, because I want you to call in and talk about anything you want to talk about. You don't have to talk about anything that I covered. You can talk about what you want to talk about. But let me tell you one of the things that got Mr. Bush elected in the year 2004. There's some very, very disturbing things that happened, not only in Ohio, but around the United States. Nearly half of 6 million American voters who live abroad, overseas, they never received their ballots. Or if they did receive them, it was too late for them to vote. After the Pentagon unaccountable shutdown of a state-of-the-art website used to file overseas registration, a confirming consulting firm called Sprouse and Associates, which was hired by the Republican National Committee to register voters in battleground states, they were discovered shedding Democratic registrations. They were threading them in a machine. And New Mexico, which was decided by less than 5,988 votes, they had malfunctioning machines that mysteriously failed to properly register presidential votes on more than 20,000 ballots. Nationwide, according to the federal commission charged with implications of election reforms, as many as 1 million ballots were spoiled by faulty voting equipment. That's roughly one in every 100 votes that were cast. But what was especially disturbing was in Ohio, where Mr. Blackwell was in charge. The critical background state that clinched Bush's victory in the Electoral College. Officials there purged tens of thousands of eligible voters from the rolls. They neglected to process registration forms and cards generated by Democratic voter drives. They shortchanged Democratic press precincts when they allocated voting machines and illegally derailed a recount that could have given John Kerry the presidency. This is what was done. A review of the available data revealed in Ohio alone shows that at least 357,000 voters, the overwhelming majority of them were Democrats, were prevented from casting ballots or did not have their votes counted in 2004. And that was way more than enough to shift the balance in the election. These are just a few of the problems that I just wanted you to know. But we have a lot more to present to you next week. I just thought I'd make you think about this. Since you all and many of our people think that voting is a way for the black man, you think that voting is the means to achieve all our ends, that if you're not registered, then you can't even talk about your problems. If you're not registered, you can't even talk about the conditions of our people. You have to be registered because you think that this is the only way. And look what it has done to you. Look what it done to the young boy Blackwell. Came out of Cincinnati. I remember when he was put in office in the council by the Democrats. And as soon as he got in there, there's a verse in the New Testament that says, where man's treasure is, there his heart shall also be. And as soon as he got a taste of that living, he abandoned the Democrats that put him in and started running and said he's a Republican. That's what he did immediately. He switched parties. Said the hell with the blacks who put him in. He's now going to get with the party that got the money. Like a lot of other sellouts in our community, they wanted to be with the party that could help them economically. Not help their group, not help their race, but to help them. And then on, he's been doing everything to help him. Because a lot of our people believe that self-preservation is the first law of nature, which it is not. First law of nature is procreation, the preservation of one species. But our people don't look at it that way. Look at your mayor. You got a black mayor in Cincinnati. I hope you're happy with him. But what is he doing? What is he there for you? What is his agenda? Now, he's been in office long enough for you to see what he's trying to do. And what is that? But you're happy you got somebody black now. Say somebody's black sitting on the table. And I agree with you. Y'all knows he couldn't be worse than what you had in there. So, I guess you got a winner. But look at Miss Rice. Do you have another winner there? Well, you have a girl that sold herself out for 30 pieces of silver. That's all I see. Well, let's talk to our callers and talk to you, and let's see how you see things. I'm going to talk first with a lovely Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Israel.
Shalom, shalom.
Enjoying your program as usual.
Thank you.
And I have a question to ask you.
Yes, ma'am.
I've always heard people recite the part of the scripture that says something about let the dead bury the dead.
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain what do that mean, and also they talk about the dry bones?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Right here, there's a verse in the New Testament, and I believe it's in Matthew's, that said, let the dead bury the dead. That's when one of his disciples was telling Christ, I'm glad you picked me as being a disciple, but would you allow me the privilege of burying my father? And instead of him allowing him that privilege, he said, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, he didn't teach him how to honor his mother and father. As you know, the Christ in the New Testament never honored his mother. He never even addressed her in an endearing manner. It was always woman. Woman this. Woman, what have I to do with you? Even though he couldn't let his disciple bury his father, next thing you know, you see him at a wedding making wine. Now, I think if you got the time to go to a wedding and party and drink wine, then you got time to allow this man to honor his father and his mother, which is a commandment. But he didn't even want the man to bury his own father. And that's where that saying came from, let the dead bury the dead.
Okay.
He tried to bury his own father. And you'll find that in Matthew's 8th chapter, the 22nd verse. You wish I'd read it for you. It says in the 8th chapter, it says in the 21st verse. It said, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. For he knew the law said, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the earth. So he just wanted to bury his father. But J.C. said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. So we found that to be irresponsible, like he was going to attract me to something. And later on, you see him at a party, a big wedding, making wine. So what's the urgency that he couldn't bury the father? We don't see it.
Okay.
And then you asked me about the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Okay.
That's in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Here the Creator is talking about the whole house of Israel. And he said we're indicative of a valley full of dry bones. And that's the way we are today. We're not functioning as a nation. We're not functioning as a group. We're not functioning as a unit. We are functioning as a bunch of dead bones that are separated from one another. We're the only people on earth that can't unite for our common good. You got one bone over here, another one over there, another one there, but they're not working in unison for the common good of the body. And they took Ezekiel, the Creator said, and he said, the hand of the. Let me read a couple of verses for you out of the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. It said in the first verse, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out into the spirit
of Yah and set me down in the midst of the valley
which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yah Elohim, thou knowest.
In other words, he said, you're the only one that know if these bones can live. See, the prophet Ezekiel was just seeing a bunch of dry bones, and he didn't understand that great big huge valley of dry bones was more than dry bones. And he told Yah that only you know. And then Yahweh said, thus said Yahweh, Elohim, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live.
And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh.
In other words, to make a long story short, I'll deal with this whole chapter one day and just teach on this. But the Creator lets him know that valley of dry bones is the whole house of Israel.
Okay.
And we're going to read in the 11th verse just to show you what we're talking about. Start at verse 11.
Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part.
In other words, we're saying we don't have nothing nationalistic. We were dried up. We don't have a culture. We don't have a language. We don't have a political, social, economical, spiritual life of our own. We've just been destroyed. We've been worshiping a hippie on a stick, and we've been calling ourselves this, that, and the other, and we don't know who we are. We've just been dried up, and we're cut off from our parts. If somebody would come and teach us who we are and how we got in this condition, maybe we can start living and functioning. And they said, that's what they're saying. They're saying our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we're cut off from our parts. And then the Creator said, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said Yahweh Elohim, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. In other words, America is a grave to us. This is a place we've been buried.
Okay.
This is not the promised land. This land don't represent to us as they do other people. We were brought here for our disobedience. And we are that nation, that whole house of Israel. And we'll talk about it another day in its entirety. But hope you can understand what we're saying.
To Yah be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Anybody else have any questions or further explanation of any of these scriptures, just call us. Area code 513-749-1230. Right now, I'm going to go to my beloved brother, Lightning Rod. Shalom.
Brother Alicia, how you doing?
Excellent. Shalom. Excellent, my beautiful brother. How you doing?
All right, man. Enjoying the program tonight.
Thank you.
You said it was like open air, right? Open
yes,
air.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you, I've been working a lot and everything. I wanted to know if you heard anything about the trial yet, Kabaka's trial.
No,
was it a decision made yet?
No, there's no decision made yet. They are trying to keep it in a little state of limbo.
Hasn't it been like 2 weeks? I thought it might have been by now.
Yeah, I heard the judge went on a vacation, and he's going to give a decision when he came off the vacation. That ain't no big thing to him.
I don't know. It just seemed strange that it just seemed like, you know, they tried to play it out in the media, and then this past week, a couple of days ago, there was some kind of editorial in the paper that said something about they was even trying to blame this other talk show host on the death of Kabaka. In other words, they was trying to say, you know, all kind of stuff about, in other words, trying to put it off of the guy who actually did it, trying to make Kabaka look bad.
Well, you know, this is a Republican city.
You know.
And it's ran by a Republican. This is a, Cincinnati is a German, Catholic, Republican city. And anybody that's in with them, they give them favors. And Kabaka was for the people. He was for the truth. And he spoke his mind and told the truth and as he seen it at all times.
Yeah, and it's a shame how people, can just try to make up laws, you know, as they go about. Like, it's like that case is like the other case, that case with the guy that had the wreck. When it came to the black girl, when the black girl had the same type of accident and killed the pregnant girl, they created a law and put her away for killing two people. But then, you know, when you got this Caucasian individual to do it, he don't be charged with the same thing. But they make up laws and stuff. When it's got something to do with our people, you know, when it's somebody strong or somebody that, you know, that's willing to stand up against the system, it's like they make up laws allowing you or just bend laws just to satisfy somebody else's agenda. You know what I mean?
Well, like I told you and earlier, this is a grave to our people. And when you look around Cincinnati, around the United States, you see our people in graves.
Uh-huh.
And they're hopeless, and they lost their hope. And this is the land of our captivity.
Yeah.
And the Almighty is going to let our people know that this is not the promised land, because they're going to always make a difference between you and them. And
yeah.
Anybody else that comes to America, they're going to make a difference between them and you.
Brother Lee,
you will always be the race in this land.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right.
I got a clip I wanted to let you hear real quick. It wouldn't take but about a minute or two if you don't mind.
Go ahead, brother.
Voice from the past. Okay.
Go ahead.
Lightning Rod is a good brother. I see him pretty regular, and he's a great activist, standing up for the people. Lightning Rod is a good brother. I see him pretty regular, and he's a great activist, standing up for the people.
All right, this is General Kabaka, the Black Fist. And all your listening audience know that we, the Black Fist, we have been fighting Polish brutality and the Ku Klux Klan on the front line for the last 2 years. We didn't, Officer George Roach and Caden, we didn't miss not one court date protesting outside and being inside,
mm-hmm.
using radio, TV, and newspaper to expose that Roger Ownsby Jr. and Timothy Thomas were murdered, in our opinion, by Officer George Roach and Caden. And we believe that if we'd have had the whole courthouse surrounded, every day that the police would have went to court, it would have been more pressure, because we believe that we got to expose them more. We got to be more militant. We got to be more visible. We got to let them know that we disapprove of the cover-up between the police, prosecutor, judges, and also the ordinary white citizens on the jury.
Good evening, General Nikki X of the Black Fist. General Nikki X.
All right, brother. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. Right now, we're going to go right to Brother or Sister MC. Yes. Yes. MC?
Hey, what's up, Lish?
Yeah, fine.
Hey, yeah, man. You know, I heard you earlier talking about, I'm glad you're the only one really on this station that's talking about how corrupt Blackwell is. The
yeah.
rest of these Republicans on the station, you don't never hear him say nothing about Blackwell. That's good. That's bad, you know. I mean, he stole the election for Bush, and the man got money in casinos. I mean, he got all type of money. He worshiped the so-called God, like you say, on Sunday, and worshiped the devil on Monday. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But he's never been exposed by none of these punks on this station besides you, man. I appreciate that. At least you're letting the people know. Because you black don't mean you got a black conscience, do you?
Yeah, you're right.
Huh? We got enough Negroes talking about they black, but their conscience ain't black.
That's right.
That's the way Blackwell is. He's corrupt, and he's going to lose. Hey, I'm out, Israel.
All right, brother. All right. Thank you. I appreciate you. Hallelujah. Right now, we're going to our dearly beloved sister, Deborah. And if anybody else want to call, area code 513-749-1230. Right now, we're going right to Sister Deborah. Shalom.
Shalom, Moray Alicia.
Shalom, shalom. How are you?
I'm doing great. You had a beautiful Sabbath day today.
Oh, thank you.
The teaching was good, and praise the Most High for the sister that came today and had her eyes came awake today.
That's amazing how fast it takes the Almighty to open the eyes, don't it? Don't Wait, take them no time at all, does it?
Did the same thing to me. We came in 2000, and we did the same thing. Came and said we were Christians, and when we left, we were no longer Christians.
All they have to go and do is just be coming to Almighty's teaching. One day, I dare him.
That's it.
And he'll change them upside down. Once
and
you
allow them to answer any ask any questions they want, and that's great. But, you know, I never got a chance to say about the trial for Kabaka.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, actually, Howard
Beatty.
That's
right. You went down to the trial. Yes.
I did. Yeah. And I've seen all of the cast of characters that Ken Lawson brought up as witnesses. And it truly was a cast of characters. Lincoln Ware, and he ought to be ashamed of himself. The same thing that you hear on the radio from him, he actually condoned that Kabaka should have been murdered.
He what?
He actually condoned that he should have been murdered. He said that if he was in the same position, he might have done the same thing. And basically,
murdered a man?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's on tape. He actually said that. And Nikki X, oh, my goodness. I can't believe how she degraded that man and had been with him for so long. Even though they had disagreements, he's dead. You don't do somebody like that you've been with for so long.
Yes.
She must have been truly, truly disturbed because she gave testimony that was not necessary, not pertinent to the trial, but just to drag Kabaka into the dirt. And she actually was with him doing some of the things that she said that he did, but all of a sudden he was a bad person for doing some of the things, but she was right there with him.
Yes, yes.
And so that was another cast of characters. But what was really strange, you had black people going up and, you know, testifying against Kabaka or saying that he was a bad person. But Willie Cunningham got up on the stand, and he couldn't say anything bad about Kabaka. He said he was a good person. He
Willie
liked
Cunningham?
Him. Willie Cunningham, the white man, the whitest white man.
And he was honest enough to talk good about him?
He did. He didn't say not one bad thing about him. Actually, you know, he said that Kabaka never showed him that he would be violent. And he talked to him quite a bit also before the shooting. And he had told him that Howard Beatty was after him. And he described the incident where Howard Beatty was running down the street with a gun after him. Now, you know, they tried to make, you know, say that this was all made up. This is something he did to try to cover what he was doing. But most people, I mean, there was too many people who said Kabaka had told them that Howard was after him. And during the whole trial, what happened, though, is Ken Lawson truly did not bring a case, and the prosecutors did an excellent job.
They did?
They did an excellent job. They didn't bring any witnesses, which I think, you know, I would have brought two if I had been the district attorney. I would have brought two people. The one cop who said right the same day that Kabaka was killed or shot, he said that the Beattys had dropped their case with Kabaka, the case that he had before he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
The Beattys had taken him to court.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped the case, but he said they told him that they would handle it themselves.
In other words, the day he got shot?
The same day he got shot,
the
police officer
day he
was
got
on
shot,
the radio.
He dropped the case, and a police officer was on radio and said what?
He was on TV, and he said that he heard the Beatty say that they were going to drop the case, but they would take care of it themselves.
Yeah.
And so you can find that clip, because that was one thing that I thought they should have brought.
Yeah.
But they didn't bring any witnesses to try. It was a clear-cut case. The man got out in 10 seconds and killed him, like execution style. And they proved that on the stand. And if this judge is fair and as harsh as he has been, Howard Beatty should do time. He really should. But the cast of characters that Ken Lawson brought up there was I was ashamed of him. He did not put on a good case. All he did was drug Kabaka's name through the mud, and he actually had represented before.
Yes, he represented with one of the policemen that he had as a witness there, I heard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of say what I saw down there at the trial. I think it was it was a shame to see how the black people go against their own people. And here you get Willie Cunningham to come on and say nothing but good things about Kabaka. It just made us look very bad.
Well, didn't he say that Kabaka had a gun?
Who said that?
Willie Cunningham
did not. He said that at one time when he was in the station, he said, well, how are you going to protect yourself against Howard Beatty? And he just pointed to his chest. He banged on his chest. And, at first, the way he did it, he said it looked like it could have been a gun. He said, but it couldn't have been because he had on a tight-fitted T-shirt.
He always wore tucked into his pants.
Right. And he said there's no way he could have had a gun on him because, of course, he would have made him leave the station if he had even thought he had a gun on him. He said, but he just patted his chest when he said, what are you going to do to protect yourself against Howard? And he also said that the day that Kabaka was killed or shot, that he said as soon as he heard it that Howard had killed him. That's exactly what he said on the stand. He was a better witness.
He said that on the stand, that
yes.
As soon as he heard about it, and that Lawson had him as one of his witnesses, huh?
Yes, sure did. But
I guess that backfired.
It did, and so did Lincoln Ware's testimony backfired.
Oh, his backfired testimony?
Sure did. He put his foot in his mouth. He said that Kabaka and them was protesting outside of the Junebug's restaurant, and that all of a sudden some boys came up in these white T-shirts and escorted them off the property or around there, and he said they never seen them again doing any protest. And so what was inferred from that, or, you know, that the prosecutor jumped on was, oh, you got the white T-shirt boys on them, you know. And then Lincoln said, well, the people down there would just do anything for Junebug. He doesn't even have to ask anybody to do anything. He knows exactly, they would know exactly what to do if something was going on down there because they would protect Junebug.
Mm.
So, and all through this whole testimony, he kept putting his foot in his mouth. But the whole thing,
I can't believe you're saying that Lincoln Ware said he would have murdered him himself.
Yes, he did. He said that he would have had to do the same thing. He would probably have to do the same thing. And it was no misunderstanding at all. He had said it several times on the radio also, that it's almost that this is what you get for opening your big mouth. And I thought it was terrible that this radio station would allow him to keep saying what he said. But I'm glad that they do have you on here so that we can come out and say the truth and not feel like we're going to be ostracized for telling the truth. And that's the kind of thing that Lincoln does. That's why I never call his show. I'd never listen to him unless it's, you know, for some reason I just happen to come by that station. But they're dirty. That's really ridiculous how they treated Kabaka and acted, you know, like he needed to be killed. For we know how Kabaka was, his demeanor. He talked a lot, you know, and I didn't always go along with him. You know that.
Yeah, I know that. I talked to you about it one time. And you know I loved him.
Yes, I do. I know that you treated him like he was your son. And, you know, I'm not saying that I did or did not like the man, but a fair is fair. He did not deserve to be killed the way he was over running his mouth. And that's the way they make it sound like,
right.
Because he was running his mouth, that's what he gets. And I think it's very harsh for them to continue saying that. But he said it on the stand.
Well, the Almighty have the people saying that because he wants all of us to know what's happening. And he wants the world to know what's happening. So he's making people say things that they wouldn't say otherwise.
Mm.
Now he's making them just come out just like he's doing with David Blackwell and Condoleezza Rice. And
oh, so, yeah.
You know, he's making them come out and say things that they don't want to say. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for
and
the time.
I appreciate that. My pleasure.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And if anybody else want to talk about anything, any Bible questions, anything at all, just call us. This is your name. This is an open house for our listeners. 749-1230, The Buzz. Right now, we're going to go to Sister Nina. Nina. Okay. Yes.
Brother Alicia, just want to say long live Brother General Abba, and wanted to say that the caller that called in under the alias Brother MC, when he called, and I know that he used to call and he used to diss the Brother General quite a bit, and we just have to be aware of agents, because agents are always in our midst. And they are always around. And just want to know, warn the people that we have to watch out for them. And MC is certainly no more than an agent. And he needs to know that Sister JR is always watching. Black power.
All right. Right now, we're going right to our brother. Michael Riley. Yes, Michael.
Shalom. How are you doing there, brother?
Fine. How are you?
All right. I want to give you a little history of the Republican Party in this city. First of all, when you join the Republican Party in the city, you join the Lincoln Douglas Club. It is named after the debate.
Lincoln Douglas Club.
Right. That's what the Republican Party, the Black Republican Party, is called in this town. And when you join, it's named after the Lincoln-Douglas debates during the period of, you know, right before the Civil War when Lincoln became president. And see, Black people think Lincoln was the greatest thing that happened to us who was supposed to free the slaves. He did not free the slaves. The Republican Congress did that. That's why a lot of Black people felt the Republicans are the greatest thing since sliced bread. But we understand that party died a long time ago. The people, you know, and the reason, one of the reasons they freed the slaves was because they was fighting the Civil War. And the Civil War was not fought to free the slaves. It was fought to keep the Union together. And they had to free the slaves because white people didn't want to fight no more in the Civil War. So they got Black soldiers to do that. Now, we understand on the trial of Kabaka, one of the things I wanted to talk about, the people who testified were all Republicans against Kabaka. Now, let me bring up, oh, yes. Let's deal with some of them real quick. Cunningham did a halfway decent job. He was a white one. But let's deal with the Black ones. He's a Republican. You know, Cunningham's a good Republican. Let's deal with Lincoln Ware. Lincoln B. Ware. He was cut up really bad because of lies and stuff he told. Number two, you had Mark S. Jenkins, who was the president of the Lincoln Douglas Club. Now he's the national president of the Lincoln Douglas Club. He testified against it. You had other people who didn't get a chance, like Ken Anderson, and other Republicans who didn't get a chance to testify against it. So these are the type of people, Black Republicans, that you got coming up there to testify against Kabaka. And these are the type of people you want to vote for. Now let's deal with Ken Blackwell. Ken Blackwell want to privatize all the schools in Ohio. And how can he do that when his wife is the school board president? That's a conflict of interest right there. But he want to give everybody a voucher to go to some of these training schools, not education schools, to train you to be a good Negro. So these are the type of things, when you vote for Ken Blackwell, this is what you're going to get. And also, you notice nowadays, the Republican Party, especially the Black ones and a lot of the white ones, are trying to distance themselves from Bush. Because Bush's popularity is in the tubes. Because he would sit there and cause war. Our gas prices are sky high. Everything is going down. He doesn't deal with the environment. all these different things are being happening. But do, but still you people want to vote for this man called Blackwell? Come on now, let's be honest. Blackwell doesn't care about black people. Can you anybody name anything he's done for any black person? Anything. He started off as a Democrat, then the Republicans bought him out. Just like a couple of them, like Ken Anderson's another one. It was bought out by the Republican Party. He couldn't make it as a Democrat. So these are the type of things that you see that Republicans do. Also, when I work for Hamilton County down there, they make you a Republican if you work for Hamilton County. And they take out your so much of your salary, and they make you a Republican. People don't know that either. So when I worked there, I was a member of the Republican Party. Whether I wanted to or not, I was it. And they took out your money from your paycheck, whether you wanted it or not. But if you want to keep your job, that's what happened. And we also understand, who are Republicans in this town? Simon Lee is our sheriff. Our police chief is one. Joe Dieters. The judge is going to Kabaka's trial. We got all these people who's running this county, Hampton County, ill Republicans. Now, including Ken Lawson. And we all know who Ken Lawson supported, Joe Dieters. Now, you think this trial is a joke? Let's be honest. Now, we'll see when it's saying. One of the reasons why the trial is still going on, they are afraid the repercussions of what the sentence is going to be. Because I've heard rumors, and they said rumors on the radio, that it might be a riot or something. So they wanted to wait till after the jazz festival, because that's what Kabaka was about, boycotting this town. So they celebrated by spending all this money to get rid of Kabaka and to put this jazz festival on. And it's still not going to be successful. So this is what this town, this county is about.
All right.
And so, like I said, people got to be aware. They want you to party and act a fool tonight, but when it comes to your rights, like Older Ryan right now, it's almost a police state. They got the sheriff's department going down there arresting anybody that's black with the sheriff and the police department. So people be aware what the Republican Party is doing to you. They're throwing you in jail, more prisons and everything else. Well, it takes $30,000 to $50,000 a year to keep a prisoner in prison, but it only takes $7,000, $8,000 a year to keep one in school. What do you think? Is something wrong with this system?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, brother.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All this good information come in, but I have to say, Ken Anderson is a friend of mine. I don't know anything bad about him. And, I rate him as one of my friends. I just want you to know that. Well, let me go and talk to Peace. Let's deal with Peace. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Israel.
Yes, yes.
How's everything going?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. I'm just going by the name of Peace because I ran into a lot of disturbing things in the past month. A friend of mine was locked up for something that he didn't do. And as he was locked up, he said he witnessed to about 9 or 10 men in the Justice Center that had dreads. And he said in about 7 or 8 of the guys that had dreads was saying that they was locked up for no reason at all. And he was locked up because he was downtown. And the chief came and just gave him a charge and charged them with drug trafficking. And also did a couple of other brothers with dread. They just locking them up, giving them charges.
Mm.
And a charge that can really destroy their life forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. Mess them up for life.
So yeah. That is so disturbing to my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to let the brothers know, the dreads know, Israelite, you know, be careful. Be very careful at night. Regardless of where you might be, just be very careful because they are just slapping charges on brothers.
Right.
And, I mean, they have been doing it for a long time, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me to get this information just a month ago is really still disturbing to my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to put that out to the brothers to be very, very careful and praying that the brothers would just pray, get themselves together with the Creator Yahweh, so Yahweh can really bless them and keep them from harm danger.
All
because
right.
It's really wicked. It is so wicked.
All right.
And I just wanted to say that, and shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Appreciate
you
calling.
Shalom.
All right. Appreciate that, and all you brothers, be aware that they are picking up brothers with dreads and other brothers without dreads, and they giving you charges that, so you know that this is the land of your captivity, and you were not sent here to be friends with people. You were sent here to be oppressed, and they are oppressing you and living up to everything the Creator said that they would do to us as a people. So beware. Right now, we're going right to Brother Levi. Brother Levi.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All praises to Yah. Just wanted to call in. You're loud and clear, and everything you're saying is beautiful, brother. And I wanted to comment on the Condoleezza Rice Blackwell scenario. And you know, it's kind of amazing, you know, especially with the events over in the overseas, where they're showing this sister. And, you know, you always, you know, you love your people and you love yourself, a lot of us that are coming out of the self-hatred thing. But just to see us being viewed, you know, you have a sister that's and the brother too. But the sister in particular in the scenario of going overseas and being shown in the light of dealing with these other countries and to for the people to see us in such a light, especially supporting, you know, being represented as somebody to be the spokesman of this Bush fella. It's really terrible.
All right. I appreciate you, brother. That's very good news.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. All right.
Right. Now we're going to Minister X, then we're going to Sister Rashida, and then we're going to Yaakov out of Arkansas. Matter of fact, I can go to Arkansas first. I ain't there with none of our town. And then we're going right to Brother Yaakov out of Arkansas right now. Then with Minister X and Rashida. Yes.
Shalom, Brother Alicia.
Yes, sir. Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I was thinking one thing about in Jeremiah 23, y'all said that these people had stood in his council. So many things that it's the leaders that are causing this confusion, not only in the Israelite community, but in all these communities. And one thing I would say this, you know, I think that, you know, I was born in the 60s, and one thing I never understood was why many of the elders that were before me during my mother and father time was, why did they ever settle for integration? And I think integration was the worst thing to ever happen to our people, and Christianity, this better religion, it calls our people to trust their enemies and hate their own sisters and brothers that are really trying to teach them the truth. And I would say most of Christianity should understand that many of Israelite brothers, we don't hate our sisters and brothers. It's just that religion is teaching them that, so they won't accept truth from us, from their own brothers. And any time a religion teaches you to hate your own brothers and sisters, then you ought to check it and make sure, because it can't be the truth, because that's one of the first commandments. We should love our neighbors ourselves. So I would say the worst thing that happened to us was integration.
All right, and we're going to talk about that one day. We're going to have a show on integration, and I want
and
you
I'm
to
sure.
call and talk to me, brother.
Okay, and I want to listen to it, too.
I appreciate you.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All right, Minister X. Yes, sir.
Yes, shalom, my brother.
Shalom.
Sorry, I didn't get to hear the title of your show. I just got
in. Well, we've got an open line, so.
Well, okay. Let me say this right quick, brother. As General Kabaka Abba of the Black Fist said that every brother is not a brother.
That's true.
And I'm speaking in terms of Cincinnati's new mayor, Mallory, who said like about a week ago that he wants to fight poverty. But see, while he was a senator, he had more power to fight poverty. He also voted for the welfare reform, which caused even more groups of poor people. So how is it that he wants to fight poverty now that he has less power when he, as a senator, had more power to do so? It's all just a big joke, a media circus for him.
All right.
All right, brother.
I appreciate that. You bring that truth out to the people and let them consider these things. Thank you.
Yes, shalom.
Shalom. Sister Rashida. Sister Rashida.
Yes, how are you doing?
Yes, fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thank you. I'd like you to read two things for me out of the Bible. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, the 21st verse, and also Deuteronomy, 14th chapter, and the 19th verse.
All right, we got
and,
the
I'd like to know.
All right.
Could you explain it to me?
All right, 11:21.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to read the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter, and we're going to start at the 21st verse. Yes.
Yet these may ye eat of every flying creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth.
All right. Well, right here, he's, and then he tells you what he's talking about in the 22nd verse. He goes further to say,
even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind.
In other words, he's talking about the creeping things, such as the insects. And then he talks about these things, and then he don't tell you in the 21st verse, he said, ye may eat of every flying creature that goes upon all four, which have legs above their feet to leap without the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Even these of them ye may eat, then he names them. And then he says, the locust after his kind. And then you don't, in this book, in your book, you might have the beetle, and you won't have the beetle. And
I have bald locust and the beetle.
Yeah, well, that's not in the Torah, but it's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see cricket in the Torah.
Okay.
But then all the Torahs have crickets, but in a lot of the English translation Bibles, not all of them, but a lot of them, you'll see beetle or bald, like you said, bald beetle, but it just said beetle in mine, after his kind, and a grasshopper after his kind. Now, we are allowed to eat crickets. That's the one insect that we're allowed to eat in a grasshopper.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not allowed to eat spiders and roaches and beetles
mm-hmm.
and things of that
nature. Can I interject 1 second?
Yes,
I was watching a program the other day, and they said that the grasshoppers were full of tapeworms.
The grasshopper was from a tapeworm?
Yes, sir, and that you had to cook them very well because you're subject to get a tapeworm.
You said that they're from the tapeworm?
No. The grasshoppers have tapeworms.
Oh, the grasshoppers have tapeworms in them.
Yes.
And if you eat them, you have to cook them very well.
Very well.
I don't know. I never heard that, but it's something that I can investigate. But we have to cook our food real well anyway.
Okay.
We're not to eat it raw with nothing blood, so we got to cook everything very well. If I eat an insect,
just letting you know. That's all.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yes.
And okay. Now, would you go to Leviticus? Because I'm sorry, Deuteronomy.
All right, Deuteronomy. Yes. We're chapter 14.
Mm-hmm. And the 19th verse.
The 19th verse of the 14th chapter. It says,
and every creeping thing that flieth is unclean unto you; it shall not be eaten.
And then it goes on and. Here's how I start. Go ahead, finish that.
But of all clean fowls ye may eat. Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself.
In other words, he tell us to eat of all clean fowls.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off on the 11th verse and said, of all clean fowls ye may eat. But these are they of which ye shall not eat. And then it categorically named the eagle, the ostrich, and the ospreys, and the gull, and the kite, and the vulture, and the raven, and the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pinnicum, and the, it goes on, but our time is running out. I'm not able to read it all because we're going off the air as I'm reading it right now, but we'll try to finish it next week.
Okay.
And I appreciate you.
Thank
you. Bye. All right, I'm sorry I'm not able to get to all our brothers and sisters on the line, but our time again is running out. But anybody would like to join us, it's 1664 California Avenue in Bond Hill, or you can call me at 226-7110, or get us on the internet at www.houseofisrael.org. anybody want to talk to me or get anything straight, just call me at 226-7110. And until next week, Yahweh love you very much, and so do I. Shalom.